Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch, and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds doing so. Truly, I say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the manservants and the maidservants, to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour, and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Every single fall, Monsignor Michael Heinz, a priest of our diocese, would send us the same exact essay, preparing us for the school year. And if anyone's in denial, 'tis the season. The essay was by a French philosopher named Simone Weil. She wrote on how to study so as to love God more. He would always send us this, so beginning the academic year, we would enter into our studies, not just to be better, not just to be smarter, but actually by our studies, learn how to love God more. Yes, we do the math equations so we can get better at mathematics, critical thinking. We read an essay on Romeo and Juliet and then write our own essay, practice analyzing. We learn Spanish conjugations to be multicultural and to be able to speak another language. But ultimately, those things, as important as they are and necessary, there's something more important about doing those things. When we do those things, we actually learn how to love God better, because it's about attention. The heart of love is attention. When we practice the quadratic equations, balancing the equations on each side, yes, we want to get it right, but even if we don't get it right, even more important is giving the 15 minutes totally devoted to that problem. That creative writing, actually more important than a good essay, is giving your focus, giving your attention completely. Because what happens when you do that?
We learn how to love our neighbor, and we actually learn how to love God by doing that. The same type of person who's able to devote 10 minutes to a math problem, a fourth grader practicing long division, their heart will be trained to go to a nursing home and then be with someone who has not seen a visitor in days and give them their attention. Because the heart of love is attention. When we give someone our attention, it's just silently screaming, "I'm glad that you exist." I think we all colloquially know when a little kid acts out, we'll say they're just looking for attention in the wrong ways. Because they're looking for love in the wrong ways. We practice the math problem, the writing, the Spanish, whatever, because that is the training grounds on how to love. If we practice at school, at work, and that fourth meeting we don't want to go to, the engineer who's giving his heart to a project he's not interested in, that attention when we don't want to do it will actually allow us to love our spouse, love our children after a long day. And it's work, of course. But that training, that taxing, just giving your focus, isn't just, they have a short attention span. It's actually the training in love. And not only our neighbor, also with the Lord. The same kid who's practicing long division, it's also the kid who's being trained to go over to the oratory and for 10, 15 minutes be in absolute silence with no stimuli and just to be before God and actually love the Lord and have faith that he's there. Attention's the heart of love, and it's actually also the heart of faith. St. Paul says, "Faith is the evidence of things unseen, the assurance of things hoped for." Just how love, as we've probably heard before, the opposite of love is hate. But another way, the opposite of love is indifference. If love is, "I'm glad you exist," hate is, "Your existence is an obstacle." Indifference is just, "I don't care about you and that you exist." Faith, if it's evidence of things unseen, the opposite of faith in one way is doubt, that I don't see and therefore I don't believe. But in another way, the opposite of faith is distraction, because it's not looking at anything. A thousand things so much that we don't even see a single thing. We have to ask the Lord for the grace of attention and train it in our studies, in our work, in our attention when loving other people. Because by doing that, we learn how to pray. We learn how to go to the oratory, go to Mass, go to your room, and just recognize, "God, you are present. God, I give you this time just to be attentive to you." And by that, we learn how to love him. Last thing. In our gospel today, the Lord says, "Blessed is that servant whom the master finds vigilant, waiting for his return from the wedding feast." And if you weren't particularly attentive to the gospel, we might have missed it and think, "Yeah, we should be afraid. He's going to come and punish us if we're not watching all the time." That's not what he says. If we listened, it said, "Blessed is that servant, because in the second or third watch of the night, maybe 2 or 3 a.m., the master will come home from the wedding, and then he will make his servants recline, and the master will serve them with a feast." It's not a fear of punishment, it's a fear of missing out. Yes, the math problem is work. Yes, prayer is work. Yes, giving our attention to our family, those in nursing homes, those who need our attention, it's effort, absolutely. But the joy of love and the joy of prayer, there is nothing that compares to it. If we truly give our attention in this way, blessed is that servant. The Lord will come and show us the true joy of loving our neighbor. And he will come in prayer and show us the true joy of loving God. of hearing him speak, of him serving us. Blessed is that servant who is attentive.